Thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode of the Mike Thacker Show. As always, we like to talk about people, profit, and purpose, because this is a show for faith-based entrepreneurs who are serious about bringing that faith into their workspace and the businesses that they're building and living out for the kingdom, hopefully driving mission, delivering some impact for Jesus while also making a few dollars along the way. And so today in the studio with me, and he's not in the studio, it's on Zoom, obviously, but we still like to say it's in the studio because, you know, virtual is almost as good nowadays as in real life. But I've got Benson, and I want to get your last name right, Benson. So you want to just tell me how to say this?
It's Abotogo, and you know, I encourage people to always stick with Benson. That way it's easier on the accounts.
Okay. Well, you heard it first then. So we've got Benson in the studio with us. And Benson is the creator of the Consistent Profit Tree System, which helps business owners and entrepreneurs in the construction and service industry to generate more profit while working fewer hours. The holy grail for every entrepreneur, right? How do we make more money while we work less? And Benson's holding all these goodies for the construction and service industry. And so I'm in the service industry because I run co-working spaces. And so we deliver service to people. And I thought this would be a great conversation. And I'm not going to give away too much here. I'm going to let Benson tell us a little bit more about his background. But he's had an incredible journey. And he's super smart, ran a bunch of books. So Benson, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Mike. I really appreciate you having me. And hopefully I'm not going to drop my mic today. I like the title of your book. I know you're asking me to talk about myself, but yeah, it was kind of interesting when I read Mic Drop. I said, that's kind of really brilliant. And by the way, those of you who are listening, maybe by the time you finish listening to this episode, the book would have been out, but I ordered my copy. It's in pre-order at the time of this recording. So if you haven't done so, go ahead and order your copy of Mic Drop. With that said, again, my name is Benson Abotogo. I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, so I'm not too far from Mike. He's in Houston. Married happily, have four kids, and it's been an incredible journey from Africa to the United States. Most people usually, because of my accent, say, where are you from? And my initial answer is, of course, I'm from heaven. Where do you think I'll be from? And I would say I was deployed and born in Cameroon, which is in West Africa. And as a background, I really started pastoring after high school. So my goal at that time was to lead as many people to Christ as possible, because I really believe that if people have a walking relationship with God, their problems will be really resolved. So I went, you know, door to door talking to people about Christ, leading them to Christ. And after high school, I said, you know, there are many options here, but I really want to become a missionary. I want to help a lot more people to know God. So I took off and I went to Nigeria, which is a neighboring country. You know, planted several churches, had, you know, many pastors under my leadership. But Mike, in 2000, which is about 22 years ago, something became very disturbing to me. I discovered that most of the people in my congregation were struggling to even put food on their table.
Right.
I was broke myself. I didn't have money. And every time I had meetings with the pastors that I was leading, they would say, Benson, we have this project in the church, but we have no money. So I said to myself one day, I said, God, explain to me, how can a rich God have broke kids? You know, when I read in the Bible, you made heaven and earth. I read through Abraham was a wealthy guy. You know, all these business people in the Bible. Why are your children in our current time broke? Why are we always struggling? Raising money for this project, raising money for that project. And Mike, you wouldn't believe the answer he gave me. He said, Benson, you want to solve this problem? I said, yes, that's what I'm asking. He said, go back to school and study business. And immediately I responded, get ye behind me, Satan. Because in Africa, business is synonymous to corruption. So I said, I don't want to be a corrupt guy. How can a pastor get into business? I don't want to do that. But I understood God's voice. So I said, okay, God, you want me to go back to school and study business? I'm going, I want to be obedient, but I'm going to America. I want to go to America and study business. So I started announcing to people, hey, I'm going to America to study business. And almost everybody was laughing because I didn't even have a bank account at the time. So people say, how are you going to get there? You know, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, fast forward, I came here September of 2003. And I went to the King's College, New York, studied business. And while I was studying business, I was repenting almost every semester because I discovered how a gross mismanager I was as a pastor and as a person. So I repented, I asked God to forgive me. So I, you know, obviously learned, you know, how to manage and how to do things a little bit differently. And it really opened my eyes as to why many faith-driven people are broke. It made me to understand the difference between the principles of Jesus or the principles of God and the life of God. Those two are completely different because before then, I never really understood why people who prayed so much were still broke. But after business school, I came to really understand that you can pray a lot, you can be a holy person, you have a relationship with God, but if you don't know his principles and apply them, you will still be broke.
Wow. And so Benson, you have your undergrad, you've got an MBA as well. So you took it seriously, going back to school and studying.
Absolutely. I didn't want to end halfway. You know, fortunately, every school I've gone to, I finish earlier. I just believe in finishing early. I mean, I hate to take an exam that is 2 hours and stay there for 2 hours. You know, for me, it's a waste of time. And the only time that has happened is when I didn't prepare. So when I finished my undergraduate in three and a half years, worked a little bit. Fortunately, I started a company with my former professor who is deceased now. He had just retired from Standard & Poor's and he was teaching at my college. So when we finished, actually the first book I wrote it with him. It was called Faith and Development in Africa. So I wrote that book when I was still in college. We went to Nigeria together, did a presentation, came back. So after graduation, he said, hey, Benson, why don't you start a consulting company? I said, where do I sign? You know, so we started a consulting company with him and ran it for, you know, a few years. And then I went now to get my graduate studies, my MBA. Because I really wanted to make sure that I'm seriously prepared for, you know, God's mission. So after my MBA, worked a little bit with him, and then, you know, I was led to start my own business back in 2009. So I take the spiritual background and the business training that I've had, and I put it together, you know, to really help people who are in business. So that's what I do currently.
So Benson, I know that you've got a few different books out and I know that there's obviously some key topics here that stand out a lot. But one of the things I was really curious to chat with you about today on the podcast is a concept that I have pulled on a little bit in the book and also just something that I still wrestle with trying to figure out. And that is, there's a lot of good people out there who believe, you know, that there is a God, who believe that we should help other people, who want to do things to help other people. But obviously there's also the reality that sometimes our helping actually hurts, right? Because we don't want to create dependencies. We can't just give people everything. So we've got to be smarter than that. We've got to be wiser than that. And I think that's where business and entrepreneurship is so valuable, because it gives people the ability to create sustainable change that's going to last, rather than just a momentary change that's not going to last. And so with what you've seen, obviously, growing up in Africa, now in the US, you've seen two different cultures, two different societies. And the reality is that there's still a large amount of the world that is poor, that is struggling, and that does need help. Even within the US, obviously, we have these challenges as well. But it's just magnified in other countries where the most basic of things are still a luxury for some people, like clean water. Mm-hmm. What have you found, or what have you come up with as maybe a good framework or a good system that an entrepreneur could look at and say, hey, you know what, I want to help these folks, but rather than just giving them something for, you know, for free, and then tomorrow they're going to be in the same position, you know, let, instead of giving them a fish today, right, let's teach them to fish for tomorrow. Have you got a framework, or have you noticed certain principles that we could apply in our businesses as we look to try and help others that you can maybe share with us?
Absolutely. And Mike, this is, I think, where you and I are very alike in that when I started, actually after going to school and studying business, I still had the mindset that if I was going to help people, I was going to do it as a nonprofit. So my first business was actually nonprofit.
Right.
And I really struggled, in that business. So I had to shut it down, because God showed me that one of the most effective ways of helping people is using the for-profit platform. Unfortunately, a lot of people think that God is a non-for-profit God. But I have read the Bible so many times, Mike, I've never seen the word non-for-profit there, but I've seen profit so many times in the Bible. The word profit is the Bible so many times. In fact, one of my favorite verses is Isaiah 48:17. It says, I am the Lord your God who teacheth thee to profit.
Right.
And who leadeth thee the way you should go. So most entrepreneurs typically feel guilty when they start a business and they are charging people, for their product or services. I have found out that is actually one of the best ways of helping people.
Right.
To charge them for the product or services we provide. Because when people pay for product or services, they value those products more and services more. And so they experience the transformation. But when people don't pay for their products or services, typically they don't value them. And so the transformation we want them to have, they end up not having it. So if you really want to help people who are suffering with one problem or another, business is all about solving problems. So if we are led to help those people, then we should create a business that provides a solution to the problems those people are experiencing. And if we have another group of people who are not in the demographics that we serve with our businesses, I believe that one of the best ways we can help those people is through our profits. So if your business is not profitable, there's no way you're going to be helping other people in the first place. So if you're not running a profitable business, it's very difficult to help other people in other parts of the world. So two ways you are running a profitable business, which can help other people with the excess of the profits you provide, or you are helping a demographic that have a problem and your business is helping them directly. So the platform of business is a for-profit business is one of the best that I know of out there, that anybody who is running a business right now or who is planning to run one can really use to create an amazing impact around the world.
No, for sure. And I think I'm just making notes as you're talking, but I think the key for me, and this is a realization that I think I've come to, very recently, is it's not that business or profit, is the problem. Healthy profit is good. And I think the challenge that we've got here in America and even in the West in general is we've taken, a good concept of being entrepreneurial, of being like God, of delivering a healthy profit, a return on the investment, stewarding things well. And what we've done is we've put it on steroids and we've turned it into greed. And so now we've got a situation where, people equate profit and business to bad because of greedy business owners and greedy entrepreneurs who've decided to be excessive in, in the way that they do things in, you know, the product or the service that they deliver. And I think that fine line, you know, I talk to the team, you know, that I have, you know, from time to time, and I always throw this out that, you know, if Jesus was a customer, would I treat him the same way as we treat everybody else? Because if we would treat him differently, we're doing something wrong. So, you know, I sell office space, right? It's pretty straightforward. If someone comes in looking for somewhere to work, I've got variety of sizes. Some of them are a little bit nicer because they're by the windows and you get the view, you know, some of them are interior, but essentially they're all very nice. And I would be happy that if Jesus walked in, I could show him any one of my spaces and I would not feel embarrassed, even in the least lowest price, worst location on the floor. It's still a great spot to sit and get some stuff done. And I think a lot of Christian entrepreneurs miss that memo and forget that business, you know, this is an extension of ministry. This is an extension of God's work that he's given to you for your purpose and your life. So do it well. And like you say, there's two ways we can use it to make impact. We can use the business itself to serve the people we serve, fix the problem we're trying to fix, which is awesome. But then we can also take its profits and do something with them. And to me, that's the hard part. So I had a challenge last year. So we created the for-profit business and we created a nonprofit that we fund through it so that we can do some things and obviously get the tax benefits of it, but also actually have an impact in the local community and you know, and use it for what it's supposed to be used for. And so last year, you know, I woke up early in the year and felt like God was kind of nudging me. And I talk to people like you who say, hey, God said this, you know, God was saying that. I never feel like God's saying anything to me. The best I get is maybe a vague nudge or feeling that possibly God's kicking me down, you know, this direction or something. And then I had to pull on that thread and figure it out. But I woke up one day last year and I just felt like God was saying, Mike, you know, this year you need to go big. And I want you to invest this much, you know, into the kingdom. It was a big number. And so my wife and I talked about this, and I'd bring this up in the book, interestingly, but my wife and I talked about this and it was more than we've ever given away. It was more than we had in one of the accounts completely. And so I wasn't really sure how we were going to do it, but we felt like God was in it. So we said, okay, great. You know, we'll do this. We don't have enough systems in place in our own organization to be able to handle this and invest it all in a year. So we're going to have to partner with some other people. And so we went to look for other groups to partner with. And what was really fascinating to me was just how hard it was to find people to partner with, to give away that much money. But I failed. I didn't do it. I couldn't hit the goal. And wow. I had a lot of interesting situations where we'd ask a few questions. We'd try and figure out, you know, where's this going to go? If we invest here, is it going to be gone tomorrow? Like, we like sustainable projects because I don't believe in giving a fish today. I want to teach you how to fish for tomorrow. I want to make sure that we've got the maximum return for this investment for the kingdom that we can. And a lot of groups just didn't have good answers. They didn't have good plans, or they didn't like the fact that we asked questions, and they, you know, they clearly were just so used to, you know, getting checks in the mail and whatever else and being free to do whatever they wanted with them, that when somebody said, well, hey, you know, how's this going to get used? It kind of spooked them a little bit. And so that's where I think it's so important, you know, with people like you. And it's so fascinating to me how God has, you know, brought you from Africa here, pushed you into this education realm, you know, given you the intelligence to help people understand systems, you know, how to build a business, you know, with God's blessing. How to deliver more profit in fewer hours, not so we can work fewer hours necessarily, but so we can work the same hours and deliver more profit, because it's not for us anyway, right? It's for him. And even then, just saying that, you know, a lot of people say that, but living that out is completely different when we really, truly live that out. So as you've thought about some of the challenges that you've seen over the years, I think one of the comments in some of your information that I read about was overcoming a fear in business. And I wanted to just pull on that thread for a second. Why don't you just talk us through that? Because I think a lot of business owners have fear of scaling, fear of growing, fear of doing the wrong thing, especially when kingdom's involved. You know, what do you say to people, you know, when you think about that topic?
Well, Mike, one of the one of my own biggest fears that I had to overcome was the fear of marketing the business. Because, you know, as a former pastor, I felt like, man, marketing is, you know, that was a wrong mindset. I'm going to take money from people, you know, or manipulate them. Maybe it's just because the way other people have done it. I mean, you were talking about greed and people doing it the right way. I always say that wherever there is an original note, there will be a counterfeit. So the profit is original. And then the people who do it for greedy purposes, they are the counterfeit. You know, we can't avoid that. It's always going to be that. But we just want to stick and be the original. So I had that struggle, Mike, you know, charging people, talking about the product or service. And one day, just like you're talking about God nudging you, I was having this conversation in my head. And that small voice inside said, Benson, if you love somebody and you know the person has cancer and you have the cure for cancer, would you be enthusiastic to tell the person about the cure? I said, absolutely. He said, son, marketing and sales is really the distribution of solutions. He said, if you love people and you have a solution and you are afraid to tell them about it, either you don't believe in the solution I've given you, or you are a wicked person. So I don't want to be wicked. And so I switch in my mind marketing and sales, and I now call it the distribution of solutions. So in distributing solutions, I am changing the world. So that helped me to overcome my fear of rejection. Because the reality is that in business, if you talk to 10 people, probably 8 of them might say no. And 2 of them might say yes. So that's a 20% conversion. But you can't take the no in a personal or be afraid to get that no, because that is the reality and the normalcy of life. Even Jesus was rejected. So who am I to think that I'll go through life and I will not be rejected? You know, people are going to reject us.
Right.
So I really just had to use the love that I have for the clients that I serve to overcome that fear of rejection. Because I've seen so many Christian entrepreneurs who have amazing products and amazing services, but they're afraid to talk about them. They give all other excuses, and the last thing they want to do is to market it. I've even heard people say, Benson, if I just find somebody to market this thing for me, I will just stick in doing what I do. And I said, you know, you have to grow to that level where you can hire somebody to market it for you, but you are the number one evangelist for your product or service. So get over yourself and think about your customer, and go out there and let your light shine. Don't light your light and put it under the bushel, as the Bible says. Let it shine. Put it out there for people to see. Some people are going to accept it, and some people are going to say no. So that's okay. So that's how I really overcame my own fear of marketing. And one of the things that I was really impressed when I was listening to your other podcast, you know, the one with Melvin, the guy who worked with Zig Ziglar.
Yeah.
You kept talking about, yeah, order the book, my pre-order, the book is going to be released. And in my mind, I'm saying, yes, Mike is bold. He's talking about this book because he wants people to read it. He believes in it. So he's talking about it boldly. This is my guy. You know, he's talking about
it. Well, I think Melvin's a smart guy, because he was talking about things that I'd written about and I hadn't heard about before. So the fact he was bringing them up was blowing my mind, because it was like, oh my word, you know, maybe I should just follow Melvin around with a tape recorder and I didn't need to write the thing after all. But hopefully I got something new in there.
So that's how I really overcome my fear of, you know, rejection, which I think many people are afraid of. The other fear that I see that is very common, Mike, is a fear of failure. Many people are afraid to scale, as you said, because they are afraid that if they scale, they are going to fail. And I usually say, well, don't scale when you still have chaotic systems.
Right.
Because if your systems are chaotic, you're going to scale chaos, and that's dangerous. You know, you want to scale when you have your fundamental systems in place. So now you are scaling sanity instead of scaling chaos. You know, so make sure that you have, you know, good systems in place before you start, you know, scaling. That will give you the confidence that everything is going to grow up. Because once you have a good seed in place, you don't have to be afraid of growing an orchard or a forest. Because the reality is one good seed is good enough to grow an orchard. Because it would just be a matter of planting it, cultivating it, and then producing some fruits, and then taking the seeds out of that fruit and planting again, and it will grow just exactly the same way. So that fear is taken out. But, and that is on the capacity side, because I believe that there are two sides to scaling, capacity and character. And I address both of those in the book. Now, on the character side, we don't have to be afraid of failure, because the thesis of the business system that never fails really came from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. And it literally says, love never fails.
Right.
So if our motive for being in business is love, we don't have to be afraid of failure, because love never fails, and love is God. And the last time I checked God's track record, he has never failed. So when we partner with him and our motive is love, then we don't have to be afraid of failure. Now, are we going to go through some odd seasons? Yes. There is no way increase can take place if we don't go through the day and night season. It's obvious. Now, Genesis 8, 22 says, so long as the earth remains, seed, time, and harvest will never cease. Day and night will never cease. So to go through increase, to experience increase, we must go through the day and night season, or what I call the odd and even season. That nobody can pray us, you cannot pray yourself out of that pattern. You cannot even fast and avoid that pattern. It's going to happen. But when we are in partnership with God, then we don't have to be afraid of failure, because we are going to go through those seasons and we are going to come out on the other end with some increase when we are in partnership with God. So whether it's on growing, scaling the business on the capacity side, or scaling the business on the character side, if we have the appropriate foundation and then the appropriate systems in place, there shouldn't be any reason why we should be afraid of failure.
Wow. So Benson, when you work with companies, what does that look like? If somebody wants to learn more, we're going to post obviously the links in the show notes so that they can find you. I know you've got a website, consistentprofittree.com, and then we've got some social handles as well that we'll share. But do you work with companies one-on-one, or is it mainly through the books and through the teaching? You know, how could somebody get a little bit more help?
Yes. I mean, we do work companies one-on-one. That is really the main thing that we do. And, you know, occasionally we work with people in a group setting when it makes sense. Then, of course, you know, the books is another way that, you know, I help businesses. But typically, when a company comes to us, we first of all sit down, typically in the conversation, either face-to-face, if they are local, or through Zoom, you know, whatever part of the world they are, so long as they have internet, you know. And the first thing is to really understand what they are really looking at achieving. What is it that these companies want to achieve profit-wise, revenue-wise? And then we look at the current system that they have in place. If those systems are good enough to sustain the kind of growth they want to achieve. And if they are good enough, then it's just a matter of saying, okay, what you are doing, be consistent at doing it and avoid these common distractions so that you can get to where you want to go, you know, faster. And if the appropriate systems are not in place, you know, to get to that level of growth they want to experience, then we help to make sure that those systems are in place so that when they are scaling in a systematic way instead of scaling in a chaotic manner. And the one of the things that I've seen in working with businesses throughout these years is the lack of consistency, which is typically brought about by distractions. You know, so a business owner goes into the office, they know what they are supposed to be doing, but they get carried away by, you know, their team members wanting their attention, or they know the things they're supposed to do, but they don't feel like, you know, doing it during that period of time. So they keep pushing it and keep pushing it until it becomes a crisis. And then now at the end of the month, or at the end of the quarter, it's a crisis. The adrenaline is up. They are trying to, you know, do it, but they are not putting it their best because it has become a crisis. Versus us, you know, focusing on saying, okay, these are the things that we are supposed to do based on the systems we have in place. We just have to be consistent in doing them every single day, every single week, every single month, every single quarter. And if we just do those things on a consistent basis, over time, our results are going to compound. Because let's face it, Mike, you have 24 hours, I have 24 hours, everybody listening to us have 24 hours. But how come some people produce far more than others? The way these people who produce more do it is because they invest their time differently. And that is an aspect that we also bring on the table when we work with businesses. Now, do we work with everybody that we talk with? No, because if it's not a good fit, we typically recommend them to other resources or to other people who can really help them.
Right.
But if there's a good fit, then we go ahead and work with those people. So in a nutshell, that is how the simple process looks like working together with companies.
Awesome. Well, Benson, I really appreciate you making some time to hang out with us today. And I can't wait to see what else you churn out in the next book.
Absolutely. And, you know, before I go, I was telling you before the show that I'm obviously passionate in promoting the book because I believe that it transformed people's lives, it has transformed mine. And for any of your listeners who wants to pick up a PDF copy of the book, they can go to consistentprofittree.com/ebook and they'll be able to download a free copy of The Business System That Never Fails. Can just go to Amazon and also order a physical copy there or get the Kindle version, you know, and read it as well. I believe that it will transform the life of anybody who reads it and invests it. And I want to say before we end the show that people who have pre-ordered your book or bought your book, I looked at a table of content already. I'm waiting for my copy to arrive when it's released. I want to say reading a book is one thing, applying the book is another thing altogether. If you eat and you don't digest the food, it will not help your body. So when you read Mike's book, when it's released, make sure you apply it. That is where the real transformation happens. If you just read it and put it on the shelf, nothing is going to happen.
Well, that's very kind of you, but you're absolutely right. You know, it doesn't help us at all if people buy books and don't read them. it's the message that's the value, right? That's the whole point. So no, it's very true. I know I say this all the time, but sometimes I feel like the most blessed person in the world. It's like I need to pinch myself to make sure that I'm still awake. I have such a great time meeting the most amazing people on this podcast. I hope you are getting even half out of the conversations that I'm blessed to get from meeting with some great people who love Jesus, just trying to figure out the journey, trying to figure out the walk, trying to figure out how to help others be who they were called to be. You know, we can't do this alone. We don't succeed alone. We weren't built to be alone. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're thinking about being an entrepreneur, if you're in Houston, connect with me. If you're in Dallas, connect with Benson. You know, if you're in other areas, Stephen De Silva was up in Redding, California. Britt Mooney was in Atlanta, Georgia. I mean, we've had some great guests on the show, people who have independently, Steve Chang out in I think LA or just south of LA, you know, they've independently tried to figure out how to live out their faith in a unique way to them. And the way that you will grow and the way that I will grow and the way that we will find our path and our future is by connecting with others who are on their journey and learning from them. Some folks will be ahead of us. Some folks will be not quite as far as us. And together, we can pull each other along. We can lift each other up. We can encourage each other. So find a way to connect with other people. I remember years ago, I was a youth pastor and Jeannie Mayo was speaking at a youth conference. And she threw this phrase out, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And obviously lots of people have said something to that effect. Pretty sure it originated in the Bible, but I'm going to give it to Jeannie because that's the first time I heard it out loud and remember it. If you don't have friends who are faith-based entrepreneurs, how do you think you are going to grow into a dynamo for Jesus in the business world? You will not do it alone. You have to surround yourself with others. That's why I started the podcast, because I wanted to surround myself with others and I couldn't find enough of them. And I wanted more. And so, you know, over this last year, year and a half, I've been able to make some great friends and hopefully you have too. Hit Benson up, find him on social, go to his website and check him out. The links are in the show notes. You can find them at mikethacker.com. If you're not subscribing to the show, you really want to subscribe. We've got some great episodes lined up. I got so many in the dock waiting to be edited. We've had just a blast of a season visiting with people. Amazing interview yesterday with someone called Jenny Ray. She's running for the governorship of California. And by the time this episode comes out, that one may have already dropped. Sometimes we play around with timings depending on what's happening in the lives of the people that we're talking to, because we want to help. And we want to be a blessing to them, and we want the episode to be as useful and for them as it can be, because that's one of the ways that we can give and be generous. And so, listen, I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for giving me these moments of your life that you'll never have back. I'm doing my best to deliver some value. Hopefully, it's getting through that that's the case. And this heart of love, this heart that drives what we do that Benson was talking about today, I pray that you would have that too as you look to find solutions to problems and look for ways to love other people. Hey, have a great day. Enjoy the drive to work. Enjoy the ironing or whatever it is that you're doing. And until next time, let's go out there and be amazing.